Computer?
Computer, active. Would you like some refreshment?
No, thank you. I would like to talk to my grandson, though. Do you know where he is?
Located. I'll notify him of your wishes immediately.
Thank you. Now, where did I put that diary?
I believe you placed it in the second drawer on the right.
Oh, I'll never get used to a computer looking over my shoulder.
Did you want me, Grandma?
Oh, hi, honey. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Your sister told me you're being teased at school.
Aw, man. It's no big deal.
Well, a bully can be a big deal. Why don't you sit down and we'll talk?
Do we have to?
Well, I want to tell you a little story that might help.
A bully story?
In a way, yes. It's a story from this old journal. Oh, no, where was that?
The journal is in your right hand.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking for the right page. Computer off.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Now, this is a story that takes place almost 60 years ago in a faraway town called Odyssey.
Hi there. Welcome to Odyssey. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit. Why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting adventure in Odyssey?
Here's the story I was looking for. This journal was given to me years ago by someone very dear. I'll start here. February 4th. I was in the school hallway today between 4th and 5th period, and I had a rather odd encounter.
Wow, I've never seen anybody alphabetize their books like that before.
Oh, hey, Max.
Hello, Trent. So, what do you need?
What do I need?
Yeah, what do you need? I need a key.
What?
A key. You know, you've got one hanging on that little T.S. Eliot keychain that's tucked away in your front left-hand pocket.
How do you know about my keychain?
I know lots of stuff. I got connections. And so do you, I hear. You're the president of the science club, and Mr. Jensen trusts you enough, he even gave you the key to the science lab. And that's what I need.
What for?
Nah, I can't tell you that. Let's just say it's bigger than both of us. So, what do you need? We'll trade.
I don't need anything. I've gotta go.
Fine. You think about it. But get it to me by Friday. Oh yeah, take my advice. Be careful.
Be careful. Those two words probably swam around in Trent's mind all day. What did Max mean by that? Was that a threat? Max wasn't really a bad boy, mind you. He was a little rough around the edges, and some may have even seen him as a bully. But I think you'd call him more of a supplier.
A supplier?
When somebody needed something, Max was happy to help them out, as long as he got what he wanted in return.
Yeah, I know the type.
Now, Trent, on the other hand, was a bright, imaginative boy, but in this case, Trent's imagination worked against him. After his conversation with Max, all he could do was keep thinking of the terrible things that might befall him if he didn't do what Max wanted. He imagined himself walking innocently down the hallway.
Did you see the third quarter grades that Mrs. Nichu posted today?
No, what's wrong?
You got an F on the final.
An F? That's impossible! I studied all weekend for that test! Wait a minute.
I saw Max hanging around Mrs. Nichu's desk. I bet this has something to do with him.
And that's not all. Ronnie Rathbone is looking for you.
For me? Why?
I don't know, but he looked pretty mad, and he said he had a message for you from Max.
Max!
And that's not all.
What else could there possibly be?
Your picture is in the newspaper for robbing the First National Bank.
What?
Wait a minute, Grandma. Could Max really get Trent in trouble like that?
No, but if you keep something bottled up inside, your imagination can blow it out of proportion. At that point, anything can seem possible. And Trent wasn't done letting his imagination get away from him. Not by a long shot.
What'd Trent do next?
He decided that he'd better get prepared if he was going to deal with this situation. He started thinking about how he could defend himself if he needed to. But even then, his imagination wouldn't let go of him.
Oh, man, I'm exhausted already. And I've only tied my gym shoes. Man, I've got to come up with something to get Max off my case. They make it look so easy on TV and the movies. If I could only think like an action hero.
Well then, Noodle On Boy, let's get started.
Whoa, I gotta be dreaming. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Ah, you have a pretty good imagination, kid. You can just call me Mr. Arnold.
I was just saying, I wish I could think like you and figure out my problem with Max.
There is no need to think like Arnold. You need to flex like Arnold.
Whoa, that was incredible. When you flex your muscles, I felt a breeze.
Of course you did this. That's because I'm so massively perfect. In my movies, I need a whole stuntman just to play my left arm.
That's cool. So, Mr. Arnold, how do you suggest I deal with my situation?
Trent, if you want to stop the bully, you need to pound the bully. Don't you know they're all cowards down deep? I would never let some namby-pamby bully push me around. Let me tell you this now.
So what would you do?
I would pound him into the girly dust. But for that, you need to be strong. Here, let me give you this ridiculously light dumbbell.
Oh, this was way a ton.
Do 20 repetitions, now!
Oh, I... Oh, yeah, I did it.
Okay, that was one.
Look, I don't think lifting weights is my thing, Mr. Arnold.
Well then, I'll see you later, Mr. Round and Dumpy Boy.
Wait! I'm not strong yet!
Forget it, kid! Strength is not your strength. You should stick to the science and things like this.
But I need you to help me, Mr. Arnold.
Even Mr. Arnold has his limitations, Trent. Besides, I was thinking about getting out of the training and trying something different anyway.
What, you mean like politics?
What? I may be muscle-bound, but I'm not crazy.
I can't even imagine my way out of this situation. Oh, what am I going to do?
Friday was only a day away, and Trent's imaginary friends still weren't helping him. What was he going to do? He soon found himself wandering through the park, deep in thought. Then he spotted Max walking into the general store across the street. Trent dove behind a park bench, hoping Max wouldn't spot him.
Great, he's in the store. Now what do I do?
Hello there, Trent, my boy. Do you want to have a Jell-O pudding pop?
No thanks. Bill Crosby? Man, I'm having one creative day.
You can call me Bill, and I'm here to help you, see? So we have ourselves a bully problem, do we?
Well, sort of.
Let me tell you something about bullies. When I was your age, I had this bully problem of my own, you see. Titus Burlingame. He was mean. He was huge. He could crack walnuts between his eyebrows. And he was the hairiest person I had ever seen. The man had hair growing on his hair.
How old was he?
9! But he could beat up anybody under 40.
What did you do?
Well, I decided to stand up to Titus. I sucked in my stomach, and I stuck out my chest, and I walked up to him with a sneer.
And?
He beat me to jelly. When I got out of the hospital, I tried something new.
What?
Trent, if you want to beat a bully, you make the bully laugh. Aha!
I don't understand.
Nobody beats up the town fool, man. I came up with every bad joke I could think of. I was wearing the dog bowl on my head. I drew a face on my stomach and then made my belly button sing Frerisaka.
What happened?
Titus Burlingame laughed until he threw up. And he never bothered me again.
Wow. I'm not sure I know enough jokes, though.
Well, I hope you do, because here he is.
Ooh, Max? Hey, what's all the stuff he's got?
That is a shopping cart full of something. Oh, he's coming this way. I have to go by.
You have to go? Wait, don't leave me out here. I'm not that funny.
Trent, if all else fails, give the man some Jell-O pudding. He stirs in the bowl. It's so delicious. Ah, this food.
Hey, Trent, you waiting for me?
Oh, hi, Max.
You got the key?
No. Hey, what did the chewing gum say to the shoe?
I'm stuck on you. You've only got till tomorrow. You remember that, right?
Yeah. I remember. What bird steals from the rich and...
Robin Hood.
You heard that one too, huh? Hey, what have you got there?
This? Just stuff I need for a project I'm working on. I want that key, Trent. I'll get it from you later, all right? Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. You'd like to be careful me right into the hospital. Oh, what am I going to do?
I don't understand, Grandma. Why didn't Trent just tell a teacher that Max was threatening him?
Well, he should have, but he didn't.
Well, he still wouldn't give him the key.
Trent was afraid he'd lose his teacher's trust and have the key taken away from him. In a way, it was his job to protect the key.
So what did Max want in the science lab anyway?
That's exactly what Trent was wondering. So with the help of his abundant imagination, he went to the science lab to find out.
I'm not sure what Max would want to steal in here, but I bet Detective Columbo, the best TV detective in the world, could figure it out.
You called?
Man, I'm getting good at this.
So, we got a bully problem with this Max, do we?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I can't give him this key to the science lab.
Key? Yeah, now let me write that down. What do I do with that pen? You mind holding this notebook for me?
Sure.
It's gotta be here somewhere. Well, I always say start with the scene of the crime.
There hasn't been a crime yet, really. I just know he wants to get in here.
Aha!
Did I give you a clue or something?
Nope, found my pen. All right, let's figure out this puzzle.
What do you think he wants in here?
Science lab, huh? Lots of chemicals. Hydrochloric acid, formaldehyde.
What?
A box of sulfur. Looks like a brand new shipment. Why would he want sulfur? You can't wear it, you can't eat it. Although Mrs. Columbo's cooking does have a tendency...
Wait! I just remembered something. When Max walked over to me from the hardware store, he had a big basket of things.
Yes?
What if all those things were part of this plot? What if the only missing item was the sulfur?
Can you remember what the other items were?
I think so. There was chicken wire, a box of candy, red paint, a bag of flour, and a stack of newspapers.
Incredible!
You've got something?
All right, stay with me on this. Question. What is the chicken wire used for? Answer. Defense in chickens.
He's raising chickens.
Not chickens. Chicken. He's devised a secret chemical formula of candy, flour, and sulfur to create the world's largest living chicken.
I'm a chicken! And get out of my way!
With this one chicken, he can take over the world and then have a doozy of a barbecue.
You don't have any ideas, do you?
Not a one. You'll have to figure this out for yourself.
But you're here to help me.
I appreciate that, sir. I really do. But remember, I'm only in your imagination. I can only be as bright as you are.
Oh, man.
Don't be listening to the dinky boy.
What are you guys doing here?
Chocolate vanilla swirl.
Hey, who are you calling dinky boy? How come you know that I'm a detective?
You flabby body. I'll floss my teeth with your springy puny muscles.
Hold it. You guys aren't helping me at all. In fact, you're driving me crazy. Why don't you just leave me alone?
But Trent, I thought you needed a help.
I think I know where I need to go for help.
But where else can you get the power of Arnold?
For the heart of Bill!
For the reasoning of Columbo!
I've got my sources. Later.
Don't worry, boys. He'll be back.
Trent didn't give up, did he?
No. In fact, for Trent, it was the right place to begin.
What's that mean?
It means it was the first time that he stopped listening to imaginary TV characters and went right to the best source of help.
Where?
He prayed and went to his Bible to look for advice from God. As Trent read, it was almost as if God were whispering in his ear, telling him to be kind, to lean on me, to forgive, to love, and to do good. Then one verse kind of jumped out at Trent. A gentle answer turns away wrath.
What did he do next?
He went back to talk to Max, only without his imaginary friends.
Hey, Max.
Whoa. You surprised me. Do you always sneak up on people in the garage?
No, I'm... What you working on?
None of your business. You got the key for me? Is that why you're here?
No. I'm here to tell you something. I was kind of scared and kind of angry at you for a while about this whole key thing. But I want you to know that I'm not anymore. And I forgive you.
That's great. Can I have the key?
Hey, I'm not letting you into the lab. I know what's going on.
You do, huh?
Yeah. I saw you with the chicken wire, the newspapers, the flour, the red paint, and the candy. Whatever you're planning, it's not going to happen. This doesn't have anything to do with the giant chicken, does it?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the thing you've been trying to hide under that tarp ever since I've walked into your garage.
Listen, why don't you get out of here before I...
Not until I see what this is.
Hey, let go of that.
No, let me see it.
Let go.
No. Hey, what is that? A red heart?
It's a Valentine, okay?
What?
I'm making a Valentine. The chicken wire was for the shape, the newspaper and flour were for the paper mache to cover it, and the red paint was to, well, paint it red. I'm putting the chocolates in it. I just wanted the key to get into the science lab before anyone else Monday morning and sort of, you know, deliver it.
Is it going to blow up?
No, it's just a little gift for somebody.
Who?
Never mind, nobody.
You just said it was for somebody.
See, this is why I didn't want to tell anybody in the first place. It's a secret admirer thing from Mandy, okay? I didn't want anybody to know, not even her.
What about me? If I gave you the key, I'd figure out you put the Valentine there.
I thought you wouldn't tell anybody, so you wouldn't lose your key.
But why don't you want anybody to know?
It doesn't matter.
There's gotta be a reason, Max.
People would tease me, like Rodney, okay? Is that clear enough for you?
What? You were afraid of people?
Well, I don't know, maybe.
You were afraid of people.
Do you have to keep saying that?
I can't believe it. You know what? I'll help you.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I can't give you the key, but if you give me the Valentine, I'll put it on Mandy's desk for you. And I promise not to tell anybody it was from you.
Hey, that's great. You do that?
Sure.
Sorry, I was kind of, you know, pushing stuff. Shake on it? Where'd you come up with that giant chicken thing anyway?
So, Trent delivered a special Valentine labeled from a secret admirer, and nobody knew who it was from, not even me.
You? You were there?
Of course I was. The gift was delivered to my desk.
You were Mandy?
I am Mandy, sweetheart. That's my name.
I didn't know that was your name. I guess it's because I always call you Grandma.
Anyway, honey, here's my point with this story. If someone bullies you, talk to people. Your parents and your teachers want to help.
Okay, Grandma.
And always make sure you look to God's word, no matter what your problem may be.
I guess I could even talk to the bully too, huh? Like Trent did?
Sure. You never know when things might be worked out with a little friendship.
Hold on. Something doesn't add up.
What's that, dear?
You said this story was from somebody's journal. Someone who gave it to you.
That's perfectly true.
But you were there. So was it your journal?
No, it was your grandfather's journal. He gave it to me many years ago.
Grandpa was in Odyssey too?
Of course he was. In a way, this is how it all began for your grandfather and I. We wouldn't marry for many years to come, but it was that Valentine and the kindness behind it that started our friendship.
Max's grandpa? How'd you end up with Max? You said you didn't know he sent the gift.
Well, I said I didn't know who the special Valentine came from. But I was at school early that morning, and I did see who delivered it.
Trent! Oh! Hi, Mandy. Where are you going with that heart? Nowhere.
You mean...
That's right. The Valentine was delivered by your grandpa. Grandpa Trent.
Wow, what an interesting adventure. I guess we know a little bit about the future of Odyssey now. You know, I wonder if Trent felt a lot like someone in the Bible. His name was Job. Job had some pretty awful things happen to him, and he just didn't understand why. His four friends came to talk to him about it, but they weren't much help. Job listened to all their advice, but wasn't buying any of it. Finally, it was God who came and answered all of his questions. Job responded in chapter 42, verse 2, by saying, "I know you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." In the end, Job knew who to listen to, and it's the same one we should all listen to when we have questions or problems. God. God is always ready to listen and give you advice and help. Unlike some people.
Where's the kid? Where did he go?
Man, I would say the joke is on us. That kid went into the kitchen or something and he's making a bowl of pudding. He is gone, baby, gone.
Well, that seems reasonable. All we can do is wait.
Enough with the waiting. What do we do?
Hey, fellas, have I done this one for you yet? Look at my belly go.
Frerozaka,
singing belly. Please. Go, Mabel, sing along,
guys. Ridiculous. Hasta la vista to you in the singing.
Put a sock in it.
Frerozaka.
I don't think we need to hear from them again. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation to focus on the family. The present long ago was written and directed by Bob Hoos. Our vocal talent included Aria Curzon, Jess Harnell, Gene Gillespie, Cody Ahrens, Greg Restivo, Hamilton Camp, and Corey Padnos. Our sound designer was Jonathan Crowe, with production assistance from Christopher Deal. And our music was by John Campbell. Our producers were Marshall Younger and Bob Hoos. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.